Hello and welcome. I'm Karen Tallcat Conley, and this is Tallcat Psychic 101 on Station 1. You were just listening to Crazy Little Planet by Sal Bellamy, the creative tune about an alien's view of this crazy little planet that we come from. Woo-hoo! I think is how it goes. Thank you for being here. Thank you for tuning in to Psychic 101. No-nonsense wisdom, refreshingly real radio. Yeah, baby. Every other Monday evening, I aspire to inspire you. So, what do you say? We do a show. I am delighted to introduce you to our wonderful and very unique guest. She is Miriam Delicato, author of Alien Blue Star, Fulfilling Prophecy. Welcome, Miriam.
Well, hello there, Karen. So happy to be here finally.
Yes. Yes, bless your heart. You're on board. You're on board the ship.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it's going to be a good ride. Now, everybody, Miriam's going to be taking calls throughout the show tonight. So this is your chance to speak with a real, live, balanced, grounded alien contactee. Now, you'll find those just everywhere, you know. And I assure you that that is what she is. So if you've had an experience and want to share it, just give us a call at 888-815-9756. That's the toll-free. Just let your fingers do the walking. Don't worry if you're interrupting the show, because I'll work you in and get us right back on topic. That's Miriam Delicato, the author of Alien Blue Star, Fulfilling Prophecy. So just save your readings for the next show, reading requests, and we'll get to those the next time, because we've got Miss Miriam here. Now, if you guys want to click on the show info next to the spot on the schedule where you see Tallcat Psychic 101, or on the front page, you'll see a photo of Miriam and a bit about her work, as well as a link to her website, which is alienbluestar.com. And the reason I mention that is because I believe that when you look in a person's eyes, you can tell and recognize a person's truth. And Miriam's picture, in particular, you can really look directly into her eyes. The girl's not afraid to look at a camera lens. Miriam Delicato is a woman from a small town in British Columbia with a large message of great importance for the future of this planet, its inhabitants, life forms, and all of its creatures. You could say it all started with an encounter with tall, blonde aliens in 1988 on a lonely highway late at night. Her story has been gathering momentum and evolving ever since. She touched down into a world of secret governments, clones, Russian psychic army recruiters, and the ancient Hopi people. Now, Miriam, I know that you're, from having read your book, which I always read my guest books before they come on, and this book, I have to say, is really fascinating in its simplicity, and its storyline is incredible. I could not put it down. I was up till 3 in the morning reading your book.
Wow, thank you. Thank you.
Yes, it's wonderful, and I have to tell you this as well. You know, I put out an opening for questions by email to the listeners, and really what I got the most of, and this is very unusual, most of my emails came in the form of a please thank Miriam for writing the book. And I don't know too many authors that really get that kind of a response to their book. Pretty cool,
very,
isn't it?
Yeah, that's very, very, very rewarding. And each and every one of the people that have been and that has had the opportunity to read the book, because, in fact, you know, I don't feel that it's me that wrote it. It's a very simple story. It's the story of my life, and I've sort of laid it out in a way that I was, you know, that I'd hoped everyone would be able to relate to and be able to sort of see through my eyes the process that I've gone through over the last 20 years. And it's really written for all of us. And so I'm very honored that anyone would say, give me that feedback saying that they appreciated it. And it means a lot to me.
You know, that's kind of the reciprocal energy because of the way you wrote it. You know, it kind of came back around to let you know it was appreciated.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really cool. I think we have a caller already on the line. Hello?
Oh, hi, I'm here.
Hi.
Hi, Karen. This is Kira from Seekers.
Oh, hey.
Hey.
What's your question?
Hi, Miriam.
Hi.
Wanted to ask you, I've been, I don't want to say plagued because I try to embrace it, but since I was a child, I've been having, I'd say probably at least once every other week, dreams about alien contact. I've had physical contact with them, I think, waking. I've been plagued with repetitive numbers, and I've had them appear before me. And I'm just wondering if there's, for those of us out there who have had, I would say more like an astral contact, is there a way for us to contact them more in the physical world? Is there a way we can call out to them or find out if we are contactees?
Oh, well, that's a really great question. Thank you for asking it, because it sort of brings me into being able to discuss the different ways in which they contact us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they can't come to us physically, and which means it would be like you and I, Karen, face to face in front of one another, and we reach out and we can touch something physical.
Sure.
And that does happen. I don't, in my view, it doesn't happen as often as we in our minds sort of think that it does. This isn't a daily occurrence by any means for most people.
Right.
But they do often come, as the caller just said, in the astral form. And that can happen nightly, daily, hourly, often. Now, all of these different ways in which they contact us, whether it's through dreams or through the astral or in the physical, all of these things are interconnected. So if these beings are giving one direct message and they're all a particular type of being, that means they're all communicating with one another in order to contact you. So the question, I think, was how can this lady make contact in the physical world with them? And first of all, I know that some people, she used the word being plagued by this. And what I would suggest is that if you're getting this information repetitively, that you take the time to write it down and get it out of your mind so that you have it in the physical world, and then you can begin to let go. And maybe that's what you're waiting for, is to make sure that you remember the information. And by writing it down, it may be able to release that. Secondly, if you want them to slow things down and not come to you as often, then you just have to, again, repetitively, after going to sleep at night, you know, simply say to them, I'm very tired, I need to rest, no dream work tonight. Or if you're having difficulty remembering, picking up bits and pieces of what they're trying to say to you, again, you say out loud physically before you go to sleep that you ask that you be allowed to remember in the morning, and that you will remember in the morning the message being given. As far as in the physical, I say this to people all the time, you just simply have to keep asking. But what's even more important than asking is to be able to really, really pay attention. Because if you're not completely focused on paying attention to the world around you, you may miss them going past. So sometimes, for example, out of the corner of your eye at night, you may think that you see a shooting star. Well, what you don't realize is that if you would have actually have turned to fully look straight on at that shooting star, you would have noticed that it did a 45-degree angle change. So it's a matter of really paying attention to the very small details in life as to whether or not they fit in our paradigm or not, if that makes sense.
Yes.
Okay.
That's a great answer, Miriam, because this is so in line with what I teach people about tuning into their intuition and actually communication with any other dimension, there are a set of boundaries, and the writing down, sometimes I think if I say that one more time, I'm going to scream, but the writing it down is real, real important, and it's not that hard. One reason I think people resist writing it down sometimes is because, you know, it requires a little bit of discipline and a little bit of connection. But once you start, you know, recording your interactions in this way, it makes a difference, to at least in my experience, it makes a difference in the caliber and the clarity of the communication, because you're taking the time to actually record it.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. It gives it more strength. It gives it more energy. And then through all of that process, it gives you more clarity for yourself from an outside source. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And very often the messages are interconnected. There may be a separation of a day, a minute, or 30 years between the messages. But if you have it written down, you have, especially if you date it at the top of the page.
Yes. And you know, during the beginning process of, you know, in 1988, I did keep notes on many of the things that they were saying. Some of it I didn't dare write down because I was a little bit concerned about what would happen if somebody actually got their hands on these notes, whether or not I'd be, you know, quote, put away. I think that at least at this point in our lives, as a society and as a whole, we don't have to be as concerned about these things because there is a lot more acceptance of this particular area. As long as you're not hurting or harming anyone, there's no reason to fear writing anything down. But what I found through my own process is that there were certain things that I wrote in those really intense notes that even today, 20 years later, I can go back and look at those and say, wow, if I wouldn't have had that little piece written down, I wouldn't have remembered it. And it's very, very relevant.
It's so, so important. And it just sounds almost trivial to say write it down, but it makes a huge, huge difference. And in the level of your clarity and the communication and the ease of connecting it at a later date. And it also gives you a sense of, I'm writing this down, I'm here, I'm receiving information, but you're not overwhelmed by any information that's coming to you. You know, you are in a place of, there's definitely boundaries that you can set. And, you know, let me ask you, caller, does that help you?
It does. I have been writing them down. I've been writing them down since I was really young. But I guess it's the underlying tone of the dreams that's been worrying me. Mm-hmm. My first dream I ever had, it was a friendly contact. It was with what I now know who are the Pleiadians. But it was like I was coming home to my family and they acknowledged me as one of their own. Mm-hmm. But the dreams after that turned to a different race and they've been showing me things like, Earth change stuff and like wars between different alien races, and it's just so. I mean, I know part of it could be real dreams, but I've had contacts, like I've seen them in real life. I've seen many ships during the day and during the night. So I'm just, from the stuff that I've heard, when you have that much kind of contact, both in a waking and in a sleep state, there's generally probably some kind of contact going on. So it makes me wonder if we should heed the things that I'm seeing in my dreams, if it's like a future event or if it's something that...
So if I'm hearing you correctly, what you're saying is that you're having very prophetic type of dreams that are a little bit dark.
Yes.
And they're difficult to be able to sort of wrap your mind around the possibility of this great darkness coming into our planet.
Well, I think there's a lot of darkness here already, to be honest with you. But I mean, with what they're showing me, it's pretty destructive, and I'm concerned that if it does come to pass, why are they showing us this? Is it to help others? Is it to prepare others? Or
That's an excellent question, because a lot of us around the planet are being shown similar or the same visions. Sometimes they use the same wording, and they're warning us against what is possible.
Right.
And this is a key to remember, that it is only possibilities of what it is may be coming. What they're trying to say to us is to prepare in the best way possible for ourselves, to spread the word as much as we are able to, because these things are not only a possibility, but they are a probability for our future if we continue on the same path that we've been on. If you've been seeing images of nuclear war, is that one of them that you've been seeing?
Actually, no. Oddly enough, it's a lot of destruction that comes down from other alien races.
Oh, okay. Well, in that respect, there's still a lot of influence on the planet. And actually... in the last short time period here, I believe there are influences from these other races present on the planet today that are bringing really very heavy and negative energies to us. Right. And so if this is the case, for example, one of the things that I was told 20 years ago is that I needed to mentally prepare my mind so that if other races were to come here, that we would be able to, or I would be able to, not have them influence my mind, and it wouldn't be so easy for them to tap into me and sort of control what it is that I was doing.
Right.
So this is a very strong possibility as well, as far as what it is that could be happening. And maybe the reason that you yourself are receiving these messages is because that's the actual specific area that needs to be worked on for yourself.
Right.
A mental, sort of a mental strength that you need to be working on.
Right, and I've kind of gotten that feeling because every time I've shown the dreams, and I'm one of the people that's trying to gather up other people and get them to safety, kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And on the same vein, I don't know if it's connected, but I know some of the people that I associate with online, kind of thing, we've talked about it. But there's a lot of us out there that are seeing the repetitive numbers like the 1111, 711, 444. And there's been some kind of conjecture of it being related to possible alien contact. And I just didn't know if you had a theory on that.
I tell people this. There is absolutely nothing in this life or existence that doesn't directly relate back to the ET presence.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's symbology, numerology, cosmology, heritage, DNA, structure, God, religion, science, there's absolutely no aspect of life as we can conceptualize that doesn't relate back to the ET presence here on Earth.
Okay. That was my gut feeling, but I just kind of wanted to hear it from somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Well, those are perfect questions, my friend. Absolutely perfect,
so
because it's leading me, segueing for me right into the topic.
Right.
So thank you for calling. I'm glad you're tuned in.
All right, bye-bye.
All righty, bye-bye. You know, Miriam, when I'm talking about dreams, I have to share this story with, you know, with everybody. You and I have already talked about it, but when I was reading your book, you mentioned a dream that you had about humanity with their arms outstretched, like sort of asking for help from up above. And it was a simple description, but I knew that that was the exact dream that I had a series of visions 30 years ago about the world in a precarious balance, and that was one of them. I'll never forget them. And when I read your dream and it matched mine, it was, you know, late at night, quiet in the house. I just dropped the book right on the floor. Because my late-night insight was this. If I dreamed the dream and Miriam dreamed the dream, then how many other dreamers have dreamed the dream?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just amazing to me. I see it as sort of a, you know, the communication, although it's very individual when we have contact with ETs, it seems as though there's also a pattern, bigger pattern of the information flowing, you know, through openings and in order to be hopefully shared. And that's what I love about your work. You you provide an opening for sharing and questions to be asked and for people to speak about their experiences without being told they're nuts.
Yes. That's right. You know, Karen, this is a very, very important piece to our puzzle here. And it was only recently that I was fully able, in my own opinion, to be able to express this clearly through a conversation that I had with someone at the Laughlin UFO Congress conference I was at back in February. There was a gentleman there who was talking to me about his many premonitions that he has and how, you know, he didn't understand what they were for. He said, why do I have these if I can't do anything with them? And, you know, this is the thing, is that when we are silent and we do not communicate with one another, we know and learn nothing. There is no confirmation. There's no camaraderie. There's no coming together. When we begin to have conversations and share with one another the experiences that we've had, that's when our confirmation comes and we say, wow, you know, like you and I, Karen, we've had the same vision and dream. Now, one of the things that was explained to me 20 years ago on board the craft was that there would come a time when all those people who have had these contacts would begin to step forward into the world and begin sharing what it is that they know. Now, this does not necessarily mean that we all have to come forward and say, I've had alien contact, I've been on board a craft, and, you know, needy, needy, beep, beep, beep. We need to, you know, we need to talk very seriously about it and say,
yes,
you know, I've had these very, very clear visions. Now, imagine, for example, that 50 people or 1,000 people all of a sudden are given the same vision of, for example, an earthquake in California, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, imagine that these 1,000 people or 10,000 people, doesn't matter, that all of them have the same vision. One of them may have picked up that something was going to happen. The next one will think something big is going to happen. The next one is something, we're going to have an earthquake. And then the other says, we're going to have an earthquake in California, and so on and so on, until finally the last person got all of the dream, and they say, there's going to be an earthquake in California on this date, at this time, at this hour, this second, this is how big it's going to be, this is where the epicenter is going to be. But through this process, can you imagine if all of a sudden everyone woke up and shared that vision?
We
would then be able to prepare for anything that came. Would we not? We would be able to prepare for anything. But here's the thing. One person gets the vision, says, oh, well, you know, I had this horrible dream. And then after the fact, they kind of maybe will squeak out, oh, well, you know, I had that feeling that something was going to happen. But imagine the strength in all of those people stepping forward at the same time saying, I had the dream, I had the dream, I had the dream. I had the insight, I had the vision, I had the feeling. And then all of a sudden, all of the information that we really need in order to prepare ourselves. We can't avoid things in this life. We can't avoid things in this life, but we can prepare ourselves. And some things we can change. For example, we can change the outcome of war by our actions, by saying, you know, we prefer to live in peace. How can we resolve these differences? But as far as natural events, I mean, we do have the ability to change those somewhat as well by concentrating and on lessening these situations on our planet and putting things back into balance through our thoughts and the strength that we have. But it's a very, very strong path that we're on in this way right now, Karen. And one of the things that's been happening is, if you look back, if I personally myself look back 20 years ago, when I said to someone, I saw aliens, they said to me, and this is hilarious now, they say to me, well, what is an alien? I don't know what that means. What is an alien? Now, alien is the last word that I prefer to use, but to give it a generalization.
Right.
So 20 years ago, you couldn't even use the word alien because people didn't even know what it meant.
That's
how far we've come in 20 years. Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
And now, if you would have even 10 years ago turned around and said, oh, yeah, you know, I had a vision last night and I had a prophetic dream or I had a premonition 10 years ago, they would say, oh my God, did you hear that woman in the line up at the grocery store? Oh, my God, I think she's crazy. She's schizophrenic. And then
we are definitely progressing.
We're changed. We're moving forward.
We are.
This is beautiful.
It is beautiful. I love that. I'm so glad you put it that way, because that is true, and sometimes we forget that. And I think we have a caller speaking of that. Let me see who's on the line. Hello? Hello, do we have a caller?
Leo.
Hi. What's your name?
My name is Trish.
Hi, Trish. How can we help you?
Well, I called in late, so my question is a little off topic. Is that okay?
Your question is what?
Absolutely. It was a little off topic. I've been having a disagreement with a close friend, and I was wondering if you had any insight as to the resolution.
Well, are you sort of asking, is what you're asking for, it sounds like a little mini reading, right?
Yes.
Okay. Trish, I'm going to give you my quick little insight on it, and then we'll move on because we have a guest tonight with speaking about some ET cool stuff. this disagreement with your friend, has there been something in writing between the two of you?
No.
Okay. I really see this as something that has been blown up out of proportion, and overall it's blown up out of proportion, and there's just simply a lack of communication. I really still see you and the friend as still being connected, and I really know that this is going to work out all right. All you have to do is stay in a place of loving openness toward her, and it's going to be okay.
Okay, great. Sorry to bother you off topic.
All right. Thanks, Trish. Stay tuned and listen in.
I will. Thank you.
Okay. You know, the other thing, Miriam, that happened to me that was so similar to you, you talked about an encounter in the yogurt shop where you worked about this tall being wearing strange clothing and a scarf around the neck and the mouth that came in. And this just totally blew me away because back in the 80s, I was in New York City shopping looking at jewelry, and I had this presence next to me that I sensed. And I looked at them, and they were dressed exactly as you described. And I was a psych nurse at the time, and I thought that it was, you know, the funny clothing, the odd clothing is typical of some psych patients. And I thought also we had a lot of patients that were undergoing sex change surgeries, and sometimes they dress, it looked like a man dressed as a woman to me. So I assumed it was something like that, and I said, look at these earrings. These are pretty, aren't they? And the being put their hand out, and it was, like you described, that pinkish skin and really long, skinny, and looked at the earrings, and then we looked at each other, and all I could see were these compelling blue eyes. And like a blink of an eye, they were gone. You know, your book was so interesting to me because things that I have always had in my memory bank, you know, came forward, and I got a glimpse of what possibly was going on. It just was fascinating. So people that think that your experiences are not, if they think you're, you know, you've conjured them up or you're exaggerating, I can assure anybody that thinks that these experiences are happening other than Miriam. It's like you said with the dream. It's all part of a big piece.
And you saying that, Karen, again, it just points to what I just said. That you really, if you want to have these encounters in the physical, you have to be paying attention.
Yes.
Otherwise,
yes, I missed it.
Yeah. And that's the thing, you know, that's the thing that this book does. It's, you know, there's no financial gain in writing the book.
Yeah.
There's no financial gain in that. Oh,
I know.
Boy. It's a whole other topic. What I'm going to say is that the words in that, the story and the way that it's written, I've heard that quite a bit from people where things that have sort of stayed with them a little bit their whole lives, and maybe they just reflect back on, you know, often or fairly often throughout their life, and have clarity from reading this. And I mean, I will be able to share every single thing that I have all the It's far detailed and in what I share, I could still write more, and unfortunately I just haven't had time to do that. So
I bet you there'll be a time where you do write more one of these days. I think I heard a beep. Let's see if we got a caller. Hello?
Hi.
Is there a caller on the line?
Hi.
Who
Paul?
Are we speaking with?
Can you
I'm
hear
sorry?
Me?
Your name
Paul,
is?
Can you hear me?
Yes. What's your question?
Okay, I'm sorry. I was on the same time as Trish. This is Yvonne, a.k.a. Dream.
Hi, Yvonne.
Am I on?
Yes, you're on. What's your question? You're on the air.
Yeah, thank you. Hi, Miriam. I want to say hello and apologize if I ask something that it's in your book or people have asked you before. I'm going to read your book. I'm so excited. But I want to ask you about when you've had these visitations, did you feel that that you probably did, that you knew them, but was there this intense love? Are they family? Do you know them?
First, you know, let me see. Thank you for asking the question, and I've never spending time at the end, so, you know, I'm grateful to have everyone listen to this as they are. I think I actually saw what I saw was soon as I lay eyes on them, went through my head as, what are you doing here? Why don't you just leave me?
You know, I'm sorry, but I can't hear. It sounds like a sound.
I'm having a little trouble hearing you, too, just so the guys in the studio can adjust Miriam a little bit.
Okay.
Okay.
Go ahead.
What they said, as soon as I looked up on them, thought that went through my mind was, what are you doing here? Why can't you just leave me alone? And it was just sort of like a child is called a bird, you know. And the mother saying, come on, it's time to come in from play, let's go. And the child says they don't want to. It was a type of an environment for me when I first laid eyes on them. When I got close to them, I felt this intense, it's indescribable. You asked me if I felt love. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It was just a complete knowingness of them and an acceptance and a caring that I felt in that moment that was so beautiful that literally it was being heard. So, and they did feel like family to me. And in fact, book I alluded to that where prior to them in the physical, I had a clear, quote, dream, astral dream. They came to me and said, we're coming for you. Do not be afraid. Friends are your family.
Nice.
Absolutely, family. Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I heard you a little better, so thank you. And I want to tell you, I'm so glad you finally said yes, the intense love, because I had, I'll put in my air quotes, dream, the night of October 14th with Blossom, Good Child, and the ship was supposed to come and all that. But I know it was very real. And suddenly there was a ship on my deck, and then suddenly there were two guys in my house, and me and my husband were in the living room with them. We all spoke telepathically, but it was really a trip. One guy, like you say, had the most beautiful blue eyes, and I couldn't stop looking at him, and I felt like so embarrassed and so shy. It was like I didn't know why, but he looked at me like he knew why, and at one point telepathically said, why do you keep smiling? And I was so embarrassed, and I said, I don't know. And there was just, I just like felt like I know him, but I didn't know from where. And there was just intense love. But again, the most beautiful eyes. And it was just like a visit. Telepathically, I said, do you guys, could I get you something? Oh, look at me. And I go, do you? And then he finished my thought and said, yes, we drink water. We'll be fine. It was just really a trip. And I woke up and knew that it was real. And I just knew that consciously I don't know who you are, whatever, but like you say, the eyes were absolutely beautiful, and I knew him, and for a few days I thought, I don't know who he was, but I love him.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
And he knew. He was looking at me. I could tell he was looking at me because I couldn't stop smiling. I just felt like so happy, like you're here. I don't know why I'm so happy, but I'm happy.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Because I think it'll give a little more clarity again to the listeners. My question to you is, after this event, what changed in your life? Because you changes in your life after that event. What changed you after that?
I don't know. What changed? Because I was into this already, so looking forward to October 14th, and I feel like I had my experience.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the only thing that I would say, I don't know if anything changed because I've been into this for a few years.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the fact that I really felt like I know them. I don't know. It hasn't hit me yet if anything changed. And what's so funny, I'll tell you this is funny. I haven't told many, but it's in my journal. The next night I wanted to know his name or whatever, so I asked before going to sleep. And this is hilarious, so please don't. Or laugh with me, I quickly heard Zaldigar.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if that doesn't sound spacey.
Yes. Well, you know, they have some pretty strange names. I do know that.
Yeah.
The reason I ask you the question is because often what will happen to people is they'll have fighting, whether it's orb that comes to them, not the kind in the film from the digital cameras, but an actual physical orb. Or else they'll have a craft sighting, or they'll have something happen in the astral. And what happens with those events after the fact is that quite often they will have something change in their life. They'll have a new found drive, for example, to continue on the path of research, or they'll have more, they'll start sharing these experiences more openly or with more people. They will begin to feel more comfortable with what it is that they're doing and the knowledge that they have. Normally, what will happen is something changes. But if it doesn't change drastically immediately, often, and at the same time, what will happen is as days go by, little bits of information and sort of insights and realizations will come to them. And they're just things that they've sort of always known, but all of a sudden they'll have clarity with them.
Okay, and you know, I'll have to tell you, as you're talking to me, number one, you're right. I have been more open with it. But I thank you for asking the question, because you know what I got out of it, and you're reminding me right now, which was beautiful, is that I'm not alone. As you
right.
know, this existence on this planet and light worker, star seed, whatever the hell we want to call ourselves, is very lonely. It's very hard. And my family, you know, I'm not in touch with any family. So I felt a new sense of, okay, so I've got nobody here. You know, mm-hmm. Thank you for asking, because this is very emotional for me. Felt like I do have family, and I'm just doing a job here. But, yeah, that was really huge.
Yeah, well, you know, there were, maybe that's all that it was, because that's happened to me at several different points, and I mean several different points in my life where they just come and say hello.
Yeah.
And for nothing, no other reason other than to say, we're with you, we're here, we want you to know that we're with you.
Yeah.
So that we, you know, we don't feel alone. Because the star family that's out there, all of us, in whatever capacity, to whatever level it is that we're having these experiences, and I think, Karen, you can probably, you know, agree with this, is that star, light workers out there and star family, you know, we feel very isolated from the rest of the world. And this is a very strong message that these tall blondes carry, is that we are not alone. And that the biggest message that they have right now is that we are part of one people. We are part of one earth. Mm-hmm. And that through that unity, we also have a connection to the other dimensions and worlds and universe. Mm-hmm. And that we need to be responsible for that. But to know that the responsibility that we have here on Earth is, and this is important, the responsibility we have as individuals on the Earth is being felt in the other worlds.
Mm-hmm.
And they are grateful. And that is why they come, to make their presence known, so that we can continue to work on the path of light.
Yeah.
And enlightenment for ourselves and the people around us. Because
yeah.
it's always a process, we always all have our personal process to go through as well, as much as I do.
Mm-hmm.
And the things that I'm learning in this life, you know, I'm still here for myself. And always keep that I always try and keep that in my mind, that, you know, I have a life here too. As a human life, but I also have this other side that is dedicated in service to them, which is means it's a dedication and service to the planet.
Yeah.
And so,
yeah.
you know, this is really important at this time.
Yeah, so thank you. You made me realize, I had to think back, it was October, but that's what I got from it, is I did have a new sense of everything's going to be okay, I'm okay, doing the job, not alone. It was really beautiful.
I'm
awesome.
Leave you
awesome.
With, yeah, I'm going to leave you with one thought. That's when my contact was in October. So thank you for sharing that. Thank you very
cool.
much.
Okay, well, thank you, guys.
Thanks
I'll
for
let somebody
calling.
Else call. Enjoying the show.
Oh,
thank
great.
You.
Thanks. Thanks.
Okay, bye-bye.
Well, you know, Miriam, this is Miriam, by the way, I want to say to the listening audience, please do read her book, and here's why. She has so many meaningful stories in it, and there is so much information that will help you balance out your own understanding of this kind of communication. But she also goes into quite a bit of detail about her actual time on board a ship, where she's actually taken on board a ship and actually had an experience there. But mostly what we want to contact and what we really want to touch on tonight, contact, huh, is
mm-hmm.
actually the importance of the messages that the ETs are bringing through. And these messages
mm-hmm.
are very often delivered through, from what I'm under, my understanding is ordinary people. It's kind of important that it is ordinary people. in reference to the times that are coming. We're in a unique time on the planet, very unique. And I think I heard a beep. Do we have a caller? Is there a caller on the line?
Is that me? Hello?
Hi, do we have a caller? What's your name?
Hi, my name is Lou.
I'm sorry, didn't get your name?
My name is Lou.
Okay, what's your question?
I read the book, and I have a question about the message, because
okay.
You mentioned that before this world, there were three worlds, and as far as I was reading, this world seems to be worse than the previous one. And I understand the message that you're trying to say about the end of times and transformation. And I have two questions about that. The first is that based that we are in 2009 and there's a lot of awareness in the world right now, if you think that the fourth world can be prevented. And you wrote the book, and then do you have any messages from them that you are supposed to write another book in helping people to understand how they can change? Most of the people know how they can change to be loving and taking care of the planet, but some people don't understand that yet. Is there any plans for you to write another book to tell people more clearly what needs to be done to prevent the fourth world? A fifth, maybe. Yeah.
Okay. What a fantastic question, because it leads
yeah.
me into exactly what it is that I wanted to share before the program ends. So thank you so much. To give an extremely brief overview, the tall blonde explained to me that we had been in three separate worlds prior to this one. We were here on Earth in each one of them, and that basically each one of those worlds was sort of wiped clean and started over again. From the third world, there were certain people that were taken from the planet that were living the right way, with the right hearts and right intentions. We're very, very much spiritual people. And these people have been taken from the third world, which was turned into something very destructive and dark. And it was the world where there was a lot of experimentation that was going on. And if you look at what happened, what it showed me happened in the third world, in my view, you're headed in the same direction in this world. So it's a pretty dire outlook if we continue on this path that we're on. No matter what happens, we need to understand that we will move into the fifth world. And the fifth world cannot be, quote, stopped from happening, but the fifth world can be adjusted to how it is that we go into it. Are we going to go into it in this path of destruction and darkness, or are we going to walk into it in peace and unity? These are the questions, and this is the time of peace that we are currently in right now. So the time of choice is upon us. Now, a lot of people talk about 2012, they talk about end times, they talk about the Great Destruction, they talk about all of these things. But in fact, humanity as a whole, as one unit, has the ability to circumvent any possible hurtful or negative outcomes that may be coming towards us. For example, it gets a little bit complicated because you're talking about the actual construction of the universe and how it works and the way the energies work. But if it was an asteroid coming towards us, if a third of the people stood together in unity and had one thought and one point towards pushing it away, it would push away. Because our thoughts transmit energy, and us putting out that energy would be to change the system. So as far as writing a book to tell, you know, more specifically what it is that we can be doing, there has been, you know, myself, I've been rumblings of about 6 months already, and I'm waiting for the time for it to, you know, come out of me. What it is we can be doing personally at this time is really taking notice of what it is that's happening around us. To the most important advice that I know is coming forward right now, tall blondes, is to listen to my instinct and to listen to my spirit, allow that to lead me to where it is that I need to be. Because we're moving into this very, very special time of change from the fourth world into the fifth, and we cannot stop it. But I was actually told in the last year quite a few things. You know, 20 years ago, going back 20 years ago to 1988, because I was on board the craft, I was given a great deal of information regarding what was called the gathering. And the gathering had to do with humanity coming together and making the choice for change. And that this gathering would help to turn the tide of humanity if we were in the wrong spot, if we were in the wrong frame of mind, one might say. So in 2003, they awakened me to begin to start sharing my story with the world in order to get a little bit more clarity as to who they are, how our actions here on Earth affect the rest of the universe and beyond. In the last year itself, one of the important messages that they've been in me, and I've only recently begun to talk publicly about it, and I do intend even more clarity in this, is about the gathering. And the gathering that has to do with all of humanity, making the choice to come together. It doesn't mean in physical where in one particular spot on Earth, people gather together. It's about the same time, mindset where 11 happened and people gathered in places at the wrong time all over the world, the same. What is it that you can do today in order to bring about change? Start having conversations. Start communicating with your neighbor. And that's where it begins.
That's great advice. Having conversation. I love it. It's so important.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Is caller still there?
The guys at the studio are telling me we need to take a real short break to get the sound adjusted because we're having a little trouble getting some clarity here with some new phone lines we got in. So don't go away. Just stay put because we're coming right back in just about the blink of an eye with better sound. Okay? Hold on just 1 minute. We're back, guys. Hopefully we've had a little adjustment in the sound quality there so that you guys can hear Miriam's wonderful words a little bit better. We're having a little fading in and out, so we did a little adjustment. As we were, just before we went off air, we were talking about, what were we talking about, Miriam?
Oh, my goodness.
This is the beauty of live radio, everybody.
Just about personal responsibility, I think, was what we were talking about and how, you know, exactly everyone says, and this is something that even I myself look at when I'm watching people talk from huge, massive organizations and spokespeople, and they say, we all need to work together and we all need to do something. Well, what is the something? And my suggestions are this. If we want to help save the planet, we need to collect our own heritage seeds and plant gardens.
Yes,
and that is an absolute must for something that everyone can be doing. And the other thing is to communicate and start having conversations with your family and your friends and strangers on the street again. We need to begin to communicate with one another again, because when we communicate with each other and we have conversation, we're able to learn. Then you know, we can accept and understand someone. Differences can be set aside. And you know, when we were talking about the big earthquake, you know, scenario where thousands of people might get the same message, then we can more easily share those messages with one another. It's in the communication and our respect for each other and the earth through planting gardens that we're going to be able to find our way out of this. It's simple things, and those two things alone can change the earth.
That is so important, and I'm so right with you there. And I've also, I have to say that there's a stream of information with just those suggestions out there and from other sources as well. So, you know, this is part of that big pattern of what is needed for the future and what we can do now to help. It's also what the future will be like. It's actually what the future will be like. Will be smaller communities that have more face-to-face contact and, you know, growing your own food. The seed saving is really, really critical, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's absolutely critical. And if anyone wants to leave this, this program and search on one thing, I would strongly suggest that they research what is happening to the world's heritage and heirloom seeds, because it is critical that we all take action on that one issue alone. We need to be able to feed ourselves and relate to the earth in order for us to respect one another and respect the earth.
Well, we lost our connection with nature along the way. Many of us did. And as you often say, we need to get our hands back into the earth.
Absolutely.
And really be in touch with it. And as far as the, you know, I just get so many questions from callers and so many from clients and email questions about where is the safe place? You know, that's the big question.
Mm-hmm.
And as I understand it, and I'm going to let you speak on that a bit before we go off the air, but as I understand it, the safe places, so to speak, there are locations worldwide that are
mm-hmm.
considered safe, so to speak, but they'll still be chaos even in those areas. So it isn't like you'll go there and you'll be taken care of, right?
You know what, Karen? Thank you for sharing that, because that is so, so truthful. You know, people ask all the time where the safe lands are, and although there are certain areas, there's still going to be chaos. There's still going to be the struggles if, and I mean if, something were to happen. Just because there are these prophetic stories that we've had for, and some of them for thousands of years, they're prophecies, and what prophecies are is they're warnings to us that if we continue on the same path, this is where we're headed. It doesn't necessarily mean it's going to happen, but we pay attention to them and we prepare for them. And you're not going to go somewhere and be babied like we are now. You're not going to be held and cradled and, you know, everything handed to you. You need to
Right.
take personal responsibility. And, you know, personal responsibility means for right now that when you can and when you're able to, you don't throw that piece of garbage away, that, you know, you take responsibility. And that when you can, you're able to, you plant a garden, or even a tomato plant on your balcony is still assisting the process of saving the earth and learning about yourself.
And that is so important, Miriam. I agree with you, because very often, I know I've actually had this thought myself, even though I do the kind of work I do.
Mm-hmm.
How can one person make a difference? And it is very true that over the whole history of the world, that small groups can and have created great change, and each individual really matters.
Mm-hmm.
Even at home, when you meditate, you're making a difference.
Yes.
You don't even have to be out there in the public eye.
That's right. And everyone does is, you know, just because someone's in the public eye like myself, it doesn't mean I'm any greater than anyone sitting in their home who's never, you know, who doesn't speak publicly. It doesn't mean anything like that at all. We just have different roles to play and different parts and different pieces. I could meet someone who sits in their home and meditates every day and is 10 times more, you know, quote, connected and powerful than I am. We just have different roles to play. So never feel that because you're not, you know, to take that power and that strength within yourself and know that you are making a difference. And these tall blondes and the positive light beings that are out there are making a difference. And what's happening on the earth today is that more and more and more, every single moment, and it's quickening all the time, the light workers, meaning anyone who is working for the betterment of humanity, the earth, or the universe, is getting connected physically in the physical world with one another, so that our strength, when we do come forward as one people in one moment at one time and make that thought pattern, we will be so strong that no evil or negative power on the planet or elsewhere will be able to stop us. So keep that in your head.
Yeah. I love it. You know, that is, it's just like we talked about the dream that I had and the dream that you had and how all the pieces come together, pieces of the puzzle, and ultimately the information. Almost like a message system.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that seems to be set up by advanced beings that allows the information to get delivered the right way. And the great part of receiving information, what I've noticed from the ET star people, is that when you receive a message, no matter how simple or how basic, there's something within the words. There's an experience that happens within you. It's very hard to describe it in human vocabulary, but it has a type of healing effect and a deepening of your understanding. It's very grounding. It's not anything like perhaps the way movies portray an ET contact being.
Yes.
It's a wonderful, uplifting experience.
When we ourselves, when people like myself meet one another, we have physical contact, meaning we'll have our physical conversation. So that means I will verbalize something to you and you will verbalize something back. But what happens beyond that is even more important, which is on other levels we are sharing who we are and our information and knowledge and strength and energies. And when we do that in the physical world, we are then blended. And
that's really
important. Mm-hmm.
That is so true, and that's a great place to wrap it up, which I wish I had another hour with you, girlfriend, but we have reached the end of the hour. Miriam, it's always a pleasure to speak with you, and I would love to have you again sometime in the near future for another show, have you back on again. Everybody stay tuned. Next Monday for Galectus, she'll be here. I'm going to send you home with a little more of Crazy Little Planet that we call home. And be sure to check out Miriam's website, Alien Blue Star, and look for her book, Blue Star, Fulfilling Prophecy. Where are you going to be in the near future, Miriam? You got an event coming up?
I have an event coming up at Ancient Mysteries in June. So if they look at my website, they'll be able to click on the link to take me there. To take you there, beam you over, and we can spend the day.
Yeah, beam you over. Beam over to her website and see what she's got there for you. Okay, everybody, I'll see you next time. Bye now.
I was talking to this alien late last night. He said, why you humans always fussing and fighting?
Y'all look the same to me, so what's going on that crazy little planet that you come from? You had oceans with fish, you had birds and trees, till the temperature went up just a few degrees. The ice started melting and the land was all gone on that crazy little planet you come from. Crazy little planet, crazy little planet, crazy little planet, crazy little planet that you come from.
Karen Tallcat Conley, third-generation psychic medium with a full-time practice right here in the White Mountains. I believe spirituality is meant to be surprising, chaotic, joyful, and humorous. My workshops are designed to empower you, uplift you, and put you in the groove. For workshop information or to schedule a personal reading, just log on to KarenTallcat with a K, Conley.com, because you know you've got the power, baby.